On this week's episode of There Will Be Crossbows, James tries to use a bullwhip but can't find any bulls. John gets high as a kite by tying himself to a kite, and they both get kicked out of the antique store for playing beer pong with the nice china teacups. All this and more on There Will Be Crossbows, the world's first CODcast.
All approach the castle gates as a ruinous multitude of malice, but the king was prepared, for the blue wizard had warned him. There will be danger, and there will be crossbows.
Hello and welcome to another great episode of There Will Be Crossbows. Super glad you're here today. My name is John and I'm one of your hosts. We're going to give James a call in just a second. The theme for today's episode is crack. I think what both James and I wanted to do is avoid drug references because crack is kind of a minefield. The subject of crack brings up a whole lot of other subjects like poverty and inequalities in the justice system. And if you know anything about James and I, it's that we try to steer completely away from politics if we can. So instead, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, cracks, that implies something is broken. And then that got me to thinking about myself and the many ways that I personally am broken. And one particular thing comes to mind when I do that. Let's call James and we'll see what he has to say about my situation. Hey, James, I thought I'd give you a call.
Yeah, what's going on, John?
I'm getting older.
Yes, I didn't want to tell you, but you look substantially older than you even did last week. You're aging at a remarkable pace. It's alarming, to be honest.
Certain deals I made with certain underworld representatives are starting to come due. And I either have to take care of that situation or things are going to go downhill fast.
John, when you told me you met Mephistopheles and you guys had a drink together, I didn't realize you made an underworld pact with him.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty much all he does. Just wanders the countryside looking for vulnerable souls to make deals with.
And this was like 5 years ago. You were already, forgive me, a little bit old. So you just made a deal to stay at that age? You didn't want to go back to like your prime, which for you was maybe 22?
Oh, no. If you had known me at 22, there's no way. I was this scrawny, geeky little thing. I had no idea how the world worked. Trust me, right now, this is as good as it gets, which I'm now realizing sounds really sad.
Nobody would take a look at us and be like, there's a couple of dudes in their prime, but we know better. We know we were even more sad earlier in our lives. Man, I've got it made. I've got a family. I've got, a job. I got a pug. My life's perfect now.
I have none of those things, which is why I have to make deals with supernatural entities.
From what I know about deals with the devil or his associates, there's usually some severe penalty.
Yeah, it's this kind of thing where I have to make a deal with two people, and then they each have to make a deal with two people. It's basically a giant underworld pyramid scheme.
So,
speaking of which, can I interest you in purchasing some Mary Kay?
Is this part of the underworld pyramid scheme, or is this just a regular Mary Kay pyramid scheme?
No, it's one and the same. The Mary Kay pyramid scheme is the underworld pyramid scheme. It's why I'm looking older. I don't have my supply of makeup to counteract the damaging effects of the sun.
Right, so you met Mephistopheles, and you made a deal that...
I think maybe you misunderstood. It's not Mephistopheles, it's Mrs. Tuffeles. She's a Mary Kay consultant.
Oh, God. I thought you had made a deal with somebody from actual hell, but you meant the underworld is in the underworld of pyramid scheme makeup selling.
At this point, I wish it had been an actual hell deal.
This is way worse, John. There's always ways to trick the devil, But you can never get one over on those Mary Kay ladies.
I tried offering a fiddle contest and everything, and they were having none of it.
Nobody's ever figured out a way to get themselves out of a Mary Kay pyramid scheme once they're in. You're doomed, John. You're doomed to eternal makeup salesmanship. Look, I'm going to buy some from you, but I'm not going to become a reseller because then I'm hooked in this thing.
Really, if you're not becoming a reseller, then you're kind of just throwing your money away.
Well, what do you mean? How does that work?
I tell you what, we don't have to do this during the podcast. I can tell that this is a thing that's going to happen. We can hammer out the details offline. You can probably see the relief wash over my face.
I think I have a way out of this, too. While he's sleeping, I think I can get my puppy to become a reseller, too. Hey, Crixus, do you want to sell Mary Kay products?
That dog really needs it. Did you see all those wrinkles? Okay, well, there's one pyramid scheme taken care of. Four more to go.
Yeah, whew, we're off the hook. Wait, what?
How are you sitting as far as life insurance goes?
Honey, it's 2 p.m. What are you doing here?
There was an incident.
Oh, my God. Are you all right? What happened? You're bleeding.
No, I'm fine. My skeleton is in my backpack, though. It came out during recess.
You look all floppy and weird.
It came off when I fell off the merry-go-round. It just splooted out.
I'm having to talk with a doctor. He said the medicine you're taking should prevent your skeleton from splooting out all the time. We've got to put you in a special school, somewhere where they're going to understand your condition and not punish you for it. The next day.
Hello, I'm Professor Charles Xavier. I understand you have a very gifted student to introduce me to.
My name's Rory. They tell me I need to come here because my bones keep coming out of my body. Here, maybe you'll find this humorous.
Whoa, what the... Jeez.
It's a bone and a pun.
This kid's not a mutant. He's just a sick freak. Get this motherfucker out of here.
I guess being able to take your bones out and then they glow and explode at enemies, I guess that's just not good enough.
Wait. What did you just say about your bones exploding?
Yeah, I call it my bone bombs.
Fine. He can join the school for mutants. Tuition is 75 grand a year.
I've left a toe bone somewhere in your office. Would you accept not being blown up in exchange for tuition?
All right, kid. You can have free tuition, but only if you can kill Cyclops here. Come on, kid. Kill Cyclops. Nobody likes that guy.
Today's episode of There Will Be Crossbows brought to you by Shattered Mirror Dimensional Services.
Do you need to know the exact dimensions of an object you own? Well, it's time to give Shattered Mirror Dimensional Services a call. Simply give us any object you have in your house, and within 24 hours, we will give you the exact width, depth, and height of that object. We will give you the exact dimensions in 24 hours, or our services are free. Okay, look, I get it, all right? I mean, I know when you heard our company name, you thought we did something cool with, like, alternate dimensions or portals or some shit, but no, we literally just measure objects. It's really kind of a letdown for most people, but I hope you can move past that and use our services. We'd love to measure your, you know, a dining room table or a cage for your cat or something. So, give us a call, and you're not going to give us a call, are you? We lost you in the first 10 seconds of the ad, didn't we? Truth be told, not a lot of people need our services anymore because, you know, a lot of people have measuring sticks or measuring tape at home. So business has been kind of rough, and I don't know. Alan thought we could afford this ad, and I really pushed back because I just don't know if we have it in the finances. And I'm rambling a bit, so it's going to go over time, so it's going to cost us a lot of money to air this. So if you could find it in your heart to just use our services just once, it would really help us out. I'm so sorry to waste your time. It's time for...
Questions and Answers!
Tim writes in and asks...
How do I convince my partner that board games are a legitimate date night?
Tim, why would you ever be with a partner who doesn't think board games are a legitimate date night? Board games are awesome. What else would you do for a date night? I guess if you have somebody who's a little on the fence, maybe try to spice up the board games sexily. For example, When you're playing Parcheesi, every time a piece goes back to the beginning, somebody has to take off an article of clothing. You play Monopoly, and if they land on your property, you say, "Hey, I'll let you skip on rent if you take off an article of clothing." Or maybe you play the game of life, and you get to that part where you have to have babies, and... Oh, God, no, I'm sorry. If you're playing the game of life, your relationship is already over. That game sucks.
Tim, I have thought about this question for years, literally years, and I just don't know. I don't know how to make board games attractive to your significant other. I've tried everything. On a first date, I brought out Power Grid, and I was like, "All right, this is a German-style resource management game in which you attempt to build power plants and then bring electricity to the German cities." Nothing. I tried rolling out Carcassonne, and I said, "Okay, this is a great game in which you blindly pick these little squares and you try to build roads and towns and farms." I brought out Gloomhaven, and I started setting it up, and I was like, "This will just take 20 minutes to set up. But once we really get into it, it's going to be a great game all night long." She looked disappointed, and she left. I brought out Puerto Rico, and I said, "This is a great game of resource management, and, I mean, if you can get past the fact that there's a little bit of implicit condonement of slavery in this game, it's really great." No dice. Tim, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't think it's possible to find somebody else who is just into board games as much as you and I are. Tim, what are you doing Friday night?
Questions and answers.
All right, this next song goes out to any of you who ever had to overcome something really difficult. I found a walnut in a bowl of mixed nuts at a holiday party at my workplace. I took it home, I was so excited to crack that sucker for lunch the next day. But when the time came, my little nutcracker just couldn't break the nut's hard shell. I tried a can opener and then a rolling pin, but that walnut was giving me hell. Smashed it with a frying pan, solid cast iron, was sure that was gonna work. But after 5 minutes, I only hurt my wrist. My God, it was driving me berserk. I can't crack it, I just can't crack it. I can't crack the shell of this nut. I'm gonna do whatever it takes. Gonna beat this thing no matter what. I took it to the driveway where I parked my Mustang and put that nut behind the back wheel. I revved the engine, put it in reverse, and I let those tires squeal. My engine started smoking, my tire blew out, the windshield started to crack. I leapt out from my burning car, but that nut was still intact. I dropped it from a water tower south of town, I clubbed it with a baseball bat. I shot it with a nail gun 4 or 5 times, tried feeding it to a feral cat. I can't crack it, I just can't crack it. I can't crack the shell of this nut. I'm gonna do whatever it takes, gonna beat this thing no matter what.
I went to the site of a home under construction where they had heavy machinery. I tried a forklift, a bulldozer, and driller. It was an exercise in futility. I tried it all, I don't understand it. It's literally a tough nut to crack. Through building implosions and wartime explosions and repeatedly throwing out my back. I can't crack it, I just can't crack it. I can't crack the shell of this nut. I'm gonna do whatever it takes, gonna beat this thing no matter what. At this point it was a matter of honor, a contest of walnut versus man. I took that nut to the Large Hadron Collider over in Switzerland. The scientists warned me this wasn't how to use that particle colliding machine. If something went wrong, it could alter reality into a hellscape unlike you'd seen.
I can't crack it, I just can't crack it. I can't crack this lobster shell. On my oath as Sarah Palin's vice president, and I'll nuke this shellfish back to hell. The United States will crush its enemies, both foreign and domestic.
It's Amazon product review time. This week, James sent me the festive red and green holiday crackers. Each pack contains a surprise gift, a foil crown, and a fun joke. So I was really looking forward to this because my family has long had the tradition of pulling the holiday crackers and they make a cool pop and there's a, you know, there's a little gift inside. I was not expecting this product is actual crackers. There are like saltines in there. I've never heard of a holiday cracker like this before. What makes it a holiday cracker? I don't know. I'm gonna try. So let's eat some crackers and we'll tell some jokes, and from there you might be able to review this yourself.
What is the egg right through the frying pan? You crack me up. It's not funny. I'm sorry. This is very difficult. It's nothing but crackers. It's very dry. What do you call a fancy sea creature? Sophisticated. What kind of tea is hard to swallow? Reality. Damn.
Okay. Okay, I'm getting through them.
What is thin, white, and scary? Homework. Oh, God. How long have these crackers been sitting on the shelf? This is terrible. Oh, I'm gonna call the review right here. 1 star, no crackers. The jokes make me sad. End of review.
Ah, death. I see you finally caught up to me.
Emily, it's just me, it's just John, it's the butler again.
Come in, but keep your distance.
Okay, I'm just going to open your little attic door here. I'm just going to sneak in. Hi, Emily.
Don't let the light in!
Hey, how are you?
I'm gliding softly as a cloud, thank you.
We've been sending your poems off to the publisher as you slip them under the door. We're getting a lot of good feedback, but I got to be honest. I just want to speak on behalf of the whole staff. Emily, we're worried about you. Your poems are really dark. And you shut yourself up, you know, all hours of the day. We just want to make sure you're doing okay, you know, mentally.
I've never been better. I expect death to come at any moment, which keeps me alive and makes me worry not for what I publish. I shall not apologize for my latest works.
I know that your artistry is heavily based on your very unique but fragile mental state, and I don't want to diminish your work output, but I just want you to be happy and safe. Is that all right?
Let me guess, the publisher was not a fan of Fuck the Police.
No, he says, I can't publish something that says Fuck the Police. Tell Emily to stick to the depressing shit. We don't need all this political stuff. She's got her corner. She needs to stay there. Give us what the audience wants.
Then certainly they must have good things to say about my poem, I Am Not But a Skeleton in a Backpack.
He says, tell Emily, fantastic poem until the very last line when you said, burn down the systems. He said, everything else up till there, fantastic. I'm going to trim that last line off.
Do you know how long it took me to find something to rhyme with system?
No, you're right. That's tricky. Excuse me, guys. Do you mind if I hop in here? Who the hell are you? I am Death. Yeah, I'm Death.
Oh, hey, I Emily. Knew it.
Good to finally meet you. I'm a big fan of your work. I've been reading a lot of it. And boy, you think about me a lot. A little fangirl much, Emily Dickinson.
I can tell you're not here for me.
Yeah, no, sorry, Emily, it's not your day. Your butler ate a poisoned rabbit leg earlier, so he's about to drop dead here. Wait, what? Well, it's good to see you. I'm going to take this guy out of here.
I've been inspired to write a new poem. That poem is, "When you're poisoned, you shit yourself."
Hey folks, it's James here with an Amazon product review. This week, John sent me a sign. It is a 9-inch by 12-inch sign that says, "Please don't do coke in the bathroom." You know, I have no complaints about this sign as far as its quality. It's nice, it's glossy, it has that kind of tin tacker feel to it. Nice weight, it was very easy to put up. As far as actually getting use out of this product, I hung it in my bathroom where, to the best of my knowledge, nobody has ever done coke. And 3 days later, still nobody has done coke in my bathroom. So it worked, I guess. But nobody was doing coke before I had the sign. So did the sign do anything? It really raises a very interesting philosophical question of, does an object which prevents something that already probably would have been prevented have any efficacy? Like if I had a sign that said no Bengal tigers, and then, you know, a few weeks passed and I hadn't seen any tigers, would I be like, oh, this sign is great, 5 stars? I don't know. Because I think the chances of Bengal tigers in my apartment were already pretty low. Same with the coke in the bathroom. So I just don't know how to judge this. This is really, really tricky. Man, it's got me thinking though. I find this product to be quite thought-provoking. I really haven't had an intellectual discussion with myself this profound in at least 3 weeks. I think the last time was when John sent me a sign that said, "Please don't do heroin in the bathroom." So I'm gonna go ahead and give this product 5 stars because it really made me think about, what the fuck? There's like 3 dudes doing coke in my bathroom right now. I don't even know who those people are. All right, never mind. Product doesn't work. 0 stars. Waste of money.
You hit the game-winning home run! You're on track to set a record.
Yeah, I know. Every game, it's double this, triple that, grand slam, home run. But, you know, Bill, I just don't feel fulfilled. I don't know if baseball's my game.
You don't have to feel fulfilled. Just fulfill the rest of your contract. 2 more years with this team, you've got $8 million. You don't have to do anything ever again if you don't want.
I can't do it. Baseball's too easy for me. Every game I win, it's no sweat. Millions of dollars pour in, and I just, I need more of a challenge in my life. I want to join the Royal Ballet.
You signed a contract with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
I'm sorry, is that really the name of our team? I should have known that. I'm going to check my jersey.
This is an actual baseball team, as far as I know. There's no getting out of a Devil Rays contract.
Look, I know I made a deal with the Devil Rays, but I was wondering if I play the fiddle for you a little bit, would you let me out of this?
Oh, I knew you were a dancer. I didn't realize you were a musician as well. Baseball star, dancer, musician. Is there anything you can't do, Jack?
Only one thing. Getting out of contracts. Bill, I think you've won capitalism. Congratulations. What say you and I celebrate by letting me go and join the ballet?
Sounds good, buddy. Oh! Ha! You tricked me!
Hook, line, and sinker, Bill. To answer your question, no. There's nothing I ain't good at.
Hey folks, it's time for another segment of Crossbow University, and you'll all be happy to know that the infamous locker room killer was caught, so we can all resume recreational sports immediately. It was the janitor, in case you were wondering. We all suspected it, but now it has been confirmed. Now, today we have a special guest, Mr. Thornton Montgomery, a so-called idiom inventor.
The preferred term is idiom venta.
Mr. Montgomery, you've coined quite a few famous phrases that we've all heard of. I understand you're responsible for "a picture is worth 1,000 words," and "adding insult to injury," and "barking up the wrong tree." Are there any important ones that I'm forgetting?
That all depends on your definition of important, because as I like to say, importance is like a hooker on Tuesday.
Oh yeah, that last one is great. I use it all the time. Especially with my wife, if you know what I mean.
I am there like a malleable volcano, my friend.
What's your process like when you're trying to invent a new idiom?
I purchase a new dictionary, get extremely hammered, and then let nature take over from there.
Now, there's one of your idioms that I want to discuss with you. It's popular with kids, especially. This idiom is, "If you step on a crack, you'll break your mother's back." What's the story behind that one?
I was close to bankruptcy, and the world was crying out for a rhyming idiom. Then one day I was walking along, and I saw someone who was actually writhing around on the sidewalk with a fractured spine. It all just fell into place after that. I never got the chance to thank her because she died.
Oh God, that's awful. I'm so sorry. How do you feel when you hear kids repeating that phrase on the playground?
I laugh all the way to the bank. I get royalties every time it's repeated, so go nuts.
Sorry to put you on the spot, but before we let you go, I was wondering if you could coin a new idiom for me right here, right now, on the spot.
I shall, and I shall tailor it to you specifically. You walk into a room and you say, "It's like someone played There Will Be Crossbows in here." Know what I mean?
Damn, you're good. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been Super Robots.
This episode of There'll Be Crossbows is brought to you by Plumber Pants.
There's nothing sexier than the ass crack of a plumber. There's nothing sexier than the ass crack of a plumber. There's nothing sexier than the ass crack of a plumber. Bring ass crack back. This time, for anyone, buy yourself some plumber pants. Whether you're Gen Z, millennial, or miscellaneous, plumber pants brings ass crack from under your sink to on the streets. Everywhere you go, there's going to be sexy ass crack with plumber pants. Show off your ass crack with some plumber pants.
Hi listeners, this is James. In the scene you're about to listen to, a character that I play inaccurately refers to a mythical creature as a chimera, when it's actually closer to a manticore, an error that the editors of the show found completely unacceptable. To correct this oversight, we use state-of-the-art technology to replace the incorrect name with the name that was intended. The result is completely seamless, and it's virtually impossible to tell that this issue was fixed in post-production. Thank you, and please enjoy the scene.
I think I found your problem. Gigantic hairball.
Thanks so much, Garland. Thank you so much for coming over and taking care of that. It's probably from the manticore.
All right, that's no problem. I'm sorry, the what now?
Oh, we got a manticore about a year ago. We got him off Craigslist. He lives in the garage, but he has to come in to use the bathroom because there's no bathroom in the garage.
I thought it was weird that there was a giant hairball clogging your toilet. It's not usual.
Yeah, well, you know, he does shed a lot. He is a third part lion.
That's pretty heavy. I didn't realize there were lions in the neighborhood.
Oh, he's just a third lion. He's a part scorpion and part bird as well. He's just kind of a mix of all three, but the lion part sheds quite a bit.
You know, my late wife was killed by a lion.
Garland, I think you need to meet Fluffy because I think you're judging him off of a third of his personality. The scorpion part is sweet as a button.
Usually scorpions are kind of unfeeling monsters.
Well, you know, he's got a scorpion tail, but he also has a scorpion heart. And scorpions can be very gentle. I'm sorry about what happened to your wife. We're all sorry, but she was asking for it. She went to the zoo. She went down there. She started riding the lion. The lion bucked her off. She tied stakes to herself. The lions ate her. The littler lion even lifted her out of the cage, trying to save her several times, but she kept diving back in and tying more stakes to herself. What did you expect to happen? I think you need to accept that your wife was partially, if not completely, to blame for what happened to her, not the lions.
I miss her so much.
I know, Garland. If you want to move in for a little bit and we could be roommates or something, the manticore is not going to get in your way. 90% of the time he's in the garage anyway.
I would like that, actually.
Why don't you pack up your stuff and swing by tonight? We'll set you up in the guest bedroom. And I just need you to feed a human baby to Fluffy every couple hours. And we'll just call rent even from there.
I Am Not But a Skeleton in a Backpack by Emily Dickinson. I am not but a skeleton in a backpack on the back of humanity. At one time I had an important job, now against my will, I'm free. I sit in the dark and listen to the echoes of memory, and curse the day and curse the way my skeleton was set free. Days go by and years go by, those special events, I missed them. My message to you to avoid it all,
burn down the system. There you go! You made it to the end of another episode of There Will Be Crossbows. Thank all of you out there that have the courage to step on cracks regardless of the consequences. The world is a better place because of you. Hop onto Facebook. Do a search for Crossbow Club. You will not be sad you did. There's also a link there to our 24-hour internet radio station, Crossbows 24 hours a day. You can drive yourself insane before Christmas. Thanks again. We will see you all next week.
And there will be crossbows.
John, when you told me you met Beelzebub?
He goes by many names.
John, when you told me you met Beelzebub, man, I cannot say that.
Have you noticed the other guys on the bench in the bullpen there? Nope. Sports is hard.